Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. And we had an action-packed weekend of college hoops. Kind of anticlimactic last night, though. It was close for a while, and then UConn decided to lean on Purdue in the second half, Pat.
They are an unbelievably well-coached team. I could see why Danny Hurley might change. He changes his roster every year, though. I got to think he might have a thin shelf life, as crazy as he is on the sidelines. And I'm sure practices are loud and boisterous, and maybe they don't listen to him as well. But, man, is that a well-coached team. And the smartest thing they did is they said, okay, now they had the advantage of having a 7'2" guy to battle Edie, right? Nobody else does. But they didn't double team him, and they only shot 7 threes all night. They went 1 for 7 on threes. They wouldn't let him shoot the three. All year, Purdue's thing has been everybody surrounds Edie, and they make 41% of their threes because they get all the open threes. This guy just had him guard the perimeter. They couldn't, you know, they got great defenders on the perimeter, and they used up their 9 fouls on Edie down low. The backup fouled out, and the other kid had 4, I think. But they just you know, they've kind of grinded out for a while, and then they just grind you down and pull away from you. It's amazing. They set a record for the largest, in the NCAA tournament, their margin of victories, their total point victories are the largest ever. And yes, last year they did the same thing, but last year they didn't have the same team that was great from the start. You know, they had to fight last year to get to the tournament. And, but boy, that's a well-coached team. There's no doubt about it. They know what they're doing. You know, who goes nuts about them is guys like Jay Wright, and Greenberg goes nuts about everybody. But when Jay Wright's talking about the stuff they're doing, and it's not, when you hear him, he's not like just blowing smoke everywhere. He's really is. They are really impressed with the plays those guys are running and the approach they take in and the way they guard people. So
wait, you think Greenberg blows smoke? I saw yesterday there was a clip going around. So Calipari went to Arkansas yesterday, mm-hmm. and Seth Greenberg was doing the ESPN tour explaining to everyone that Calipari is running to Arkansas, not from Kentucky. That this is Arkansas.
Yeah, although that's not official yet, right? Is that official? Did they announce it yet?
I don't know if they've announced it, but it's being reported that it's a done deal. Yeah.
Yeah. It is astounding that he's what, 65. I guess we looked it up yesterday, 65. So I was telling Judd yesterday that, you know, I dealt with him when he was out at UMass, and he was just this suave, you know, guy, just a great BSer of all time, kind of like Patino's old man was when he started off, just the nicest guy. And he turned into, last time I dealt with him, he's a complete jackass. And he's, you know, that Kentucky job can do things to you, but Calipari's been through a lot of wars, including the NBA and NCAA investigations and expectations in Kentucky. You know, the Kentucky football, a Kentucky basketball job is like the football jobs at the 10 most prominent schools in the country. You gotta win. If you don't win, they're mad at him this year. And did they get beat right away, or did they win one?
First round.
Yeah. Okay. That was the end. He said, I better get out of here.
This feels a little bit like the Tubby Smith thing from 15 years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right. And he's a big buddy of, that's the same Tubby. You know, Tubby hired himself at Minnesota. We didn't hire him.
He just flew to town.
Tubby's agent hired him. And, he's a big buddy, I guess, of the redneck chicken owners down there. Tyson, big right wing outfit that he's tied in with, which doesn't surprise me at all. So,
hey, I've got the odds, by the way, for the next Kentucky coach. I think you guys will find this interesting. So Scott Drew is even money odds.
Mm-hmm. He must be rumored then, huh?
He must be. And then Nate Oates, Alabama. Yeah,
that's the guy they want, but why would Nate Oates leave Alabama?
I think he said he's staying put now.
I would too. Okay. I would too. You're down there in Alabama, they're probably going to pay you the same amount of money, and you're still going to be not as important as spring football practice. They're not going to like riot in the streets if you're rotten, you know.
So we can take Nate Oates off the board, which means the guy that's third on this list, we can move up to second on this list.
Danny Hurley?
Rick Pitino is eighth on the list.
Oh.
Richard Pitino is second now on the list. 7-1.
Well, he didn't get the Louisville job. You know, he got mentioned for the Louisville job, and then it didn't happen. I hope for Richard's sake he doesn't get that job, because he does not have the credentials for that job, except the last name. They had a decent year in New Mexico.
Having four.
I mean, is the last name enough to, let's say Scott Drew turns him down. Billy Donovan's fourth on this list, by the way. Billy Donovan with the Bulls. That's a good one. I like that one. Weird ending. He could really soft land himself back with the college basketball job, right?
Yeah, he might. You know, he and Billy Donovan is the guy who hired Richard Pitino for the Gophers.
That's right.
Norwood was, you know, got turned down by the first seven guys. The last guy got turned down is the guy who just left Southern Cal that was at Florida Gulf Coast. What's his name? Enfield.
Andy Enfield.
He went down to Fort Myers to see him, and Andy said, "I'm going to Southern Cal." And then that's allegedly, well, supposed, you know, I've heard it from enough people to believe it, that he called up Norwood and said, Norwood called up Billy Donovan and said, "Who you got for me?" And he said, "Well, Richard's over at Florida International." He was Florida International, right?
Yeah, FIU, right? I think so.
Yeah, and he'd only been there 1 year. He's 30 years old, and that's how we got Richard here.
Richard
will get some job here in the next year or so. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the ball club.
We need stoplights on this show.
Let's talk about the ball club. All right, so last night, as you tweeted, the best news, only 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position because they didn't bother getting guys in scoring position.
Now, I was watching mostly basketball, so I didn't watch the futility, but last 18 were retired? The last six innings, nothing, right?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Buxton reached on a single in the fourth and 18 consecutive in a row after
18
that.
18 consecutive. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that'll cut down on your, zeros and strikeouts too. They only had seven.
Yeah.
They weren't at bat long enough to strike out. They didn't even hit enough foul balls. It was 2 hours and 15 minutes, too. We were complaining about time of game. It was 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Crisp.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? Is this a crisis here?
It's not a crisis. I don't think it's a crisis. They're getting on base. They weren't last night. They're hitting the ball hard. If you look at, like, exit velocities and things, they just aren't hitting with runners in scoring. They're literally hitting like 120 with runners in scoring position or 115.
Now they got another pitcher hurt, Duarte. I thought that was just to get a guy on the roster, but apparently he's hurt too. So that's eight, right? That's according to the Bobby Nightingale story this morning. They got eight pitchers hurt. And we don't know if Alcala's, he left the game the other day. Not that that's a big deal, but did they just bring up Miranda for a game to face a left-handed pitcher or something? What is that?
They wanted him up just in general, cause they wanted an extra bat in the lineup. Rocco did say explicitly though, that he is not the everyday third baseman. So do not expect him to be, at third base every single day.
He's got Castro. Who needs him?
Right. That's right. You got Castro playing every day. Well, this team, as paranoid as they are about pitching, they aren't going to carry 14 position players very long in either. No. They'll probably just send him back, in the next couple of days or something. But I don't think they're very good. I think the bigger problem is they aren't very good. I was talking to Jed about this yesterday. Walner, all right, he was okay for 6 weeks. What do we know about him? We don't, you know, he might not be a productive big league player. Kepler, awful, terrible. Same as he was last year for 3.5 months. Buxton struck out a lot as a DH. He can also strike out a lot of center fielder. Fantastic plays in center field yesterday. It was very encouraging. But, you know, he's not hitting. You like Kyle Farmer? You can have Kyle Farmer. I am not a Kyle Farmer fan. Okay, he's okay. He's just an extra guy.
The Kyle Farmer disrespect will not stand on this podcast.
I'm not a Kyle Farmer.
Royce, I'm not a Kyle Farmer.
Third base.
You always love to pick on the backup utility. The Brendan.
Now Declan's going to get jumped by Farmer. What's up with your co-host, mate?
No. I mean, I'm just, he's an okay player, but I mean, what? I don't know. It's, play Kirilloff at first. Why did they spend $5.5 million for a corpse? Carlos Santana.
It's been a week.
I know, but he's not Carlos Santana anymore. That was 2 years ago. He was bad last year. And you do it for first base defense. Who gives a good damn about first base defense? Kirilloff's fine at first base. He's not Herbie. He's not an all-star. Who cares? You know, when you did that, you had Royce Lewis playing third and Carlos Correa playing shortstop. You know, you don't need a great first baseman. You got two great fielders on the left side of the infield. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand that you're going to, of course, the fact they got him cheap had a lot to do with it. This whole cost cutting down to $125 million is really looking bad right now. That's for sure.
So just to be clear, you're pessimistic about the Twins, it sounds like.
Yeah, I am, because I thought the pitching was supposed to be the problem, right? We all agreed the pitching was going to be the problem. And now you look at the lineup and you say, when you have pitching as your main problem and your lineup's bad, that's not gonna work. But then
and you
again,
might wind up being right. I think what I'm saying is I don't know that we can say anything definitively for like another 2 weeks. Yeah, and maybe you're right. You've seen a lot more baseball than we have.
No, I just
want to see like two more weeks before I completely bail on this team.
I agree with you, but the vibe is terrible right now. The vibe has been terrible since they decided not to spend any money.
See, they shouldn't have said that out loud, you know? No. Like, if they would have just not said it out loud.
Yeah, right. Or if they, you know, you cannot send out this starting rotation and say, we're going to compete, for goodness sakes. I mean, you can't. You got to have another body that's gives some support to Pablo. Paddock is, you can't talk about Chris Paddock as, oh, man, we're really excited about him. He's going to pitch 105 innings, 110 innings. He's coming off two TJs, for goodness sakes. I don't know. It's they've managed to what? How was the crowd last night? What did we say, 17?
Yeah, 15, 17,000.
It looked more full, though, because the upper deck was roped off. So,
yes. Including the two bars. When they close bars there, you're in trouble. That's all I know.
So what? There's a bar upstairs. I didn't even know.
There's those two side by side bars.
Yeah.
Okay. Where let's say eventually a press box could go.
Yes.
And those are all the entire upper deck is closed, including that lower portion of it.
Oh, okay.
The entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That doesn't look good when I would have waited till the Dodgers left because the people might pay attention to that. The Twins are in such bad shape. They had to rope off seats for the Dodgers, who everybody else can't wait to see. But I don't know. I blame Major League Baseball for this, not the Twins, that the idiots would schedule the Dodgers. What are you doing? The Dodgers should be out in the West Coast playing their rivals now, and then they should come in the Midwest in the summer where you can draw some people and create interest. They don't give a damn. Baseball doesn't give a damn about creating interest in the American League Central. They hate us, okay? They don't care about us at all, baseball. Otherwise, the Dodgers would be playing here in June or July instead of April for two times in a row. Unbelievable.
I don't think Bally's is going to call Pat to do anything on the pregame show this week.
Coming up next.
The Twins just should be thankful for this, that Ozzy doesn't do their postgame show. Oh, that's God. What they
hey, you can't you can't pull fat, as he said.
Is he the greatest or not?
You can't pull fat. Oh, man.
It's a sad, sad thing that his managerial career, just because he said Castro isn't that bad a guy, you know, he was basically, yeah. he got fired at Miami because he said, you know, Castro is a lot of, you know, kind of all, there's a lot of good things about Castro, tough guy and all that stuff, and all the Cubans turned on him down there, so.
Yeah, it was a bad day. I thought at some point the White Sox, in their mess the last few years, might turn the page back and hire him back as manager, but.
Talk about a team proud. Talk about a team that's proud to tank. The White Sox. What?
Oh yeah.
I'm going to go to the state legislature and ask for $1 billion for a new stadium. And then, by the way, we're devoted to being rotten this year. So really, give us that $1 billion, will you? What?
Yeah, it's been a rough look for the White Sox the last 15 years or so, yes. For the most part.
So who we got chucking tonight? I didn't even look.
Well, Louis. By the way, okay.
Oh, we got Glasnow against Louis, right?
Ooh. Yeah. Yep.
Bailey Ober was good last night. I just want to say.
I know he was good. Last night. Okay. What are the Glasnow against Louis, though? It's got to be Dodgers got to be 260, don't they?
Let's see.
Maybe it's a road game. I bet the Dodgers are.
-190.
190.
Is that all? Oof. They're giving away money free. Glasnow.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, are they giving the Twins some home field cold weather probably, advantage there? Maybe
probably,
I don't know.
Probably, I suppose. But Glasnow, after his latest surgery, might have the best stuff of anybody. He's unbelievable how good he is, and you know. But he only goes six. Maybe he can get some off the bullpen tonight. So I don't know.
Can you salvage a game here in the next couple of days? That's
Ober struggled against that Betts. Otani, Freeman, 1-2-3 murderers yes. row. That's basically in the National League, yeah, and they were all over him on all three appearances.
And then Will
yesterday.
Smith hitting fourth, right?
Yeah,
Will Smith hitting fourth. Yes. I think he could talk me into him too. So, but they're, you know, they got some outs in the lineup. They're not. Their pitching is their real strength is there. So. Yeah. Anyway, our Wolfies are home tonight, right?
I'm going to be there tonight. Washington, I just got my
the Wizards, right?
Yeah,
the Wizards. Yeah, this is you should be able to rest a couple guys if you want to here in theory. Yeah,
and you got to go to Denver tomorrow night, and I think if you lose that game to Denver, you probably can't get the number one seed because I was saying yesterday, OKC has got four home games this week that are pretty. That look like they're winnable, and then Denver's. I think we're the only team that could beat Denver when you look at their schedule. So the
good news, if you beat Denver, you would have the season tiebreaker.
Yeah,
which is all that matters. And if you beat Denver, because the next tiebreaker with the Thunder would be because they split 2-2, the Wolves and Denver.
Record,
and Thunder.
Right?
It would be division record. And now the Wolves have one fewer division loss than the Thunder. So they can, man, if the Wolves win a couple games here, they don't clinch anything yet, but be pretty interesting. Who do you want to face in the first round? Warriors? Lakers? What would
I'll
be the fun
anybody,
series?
I'll take anybody but the Suns, and I don't want to play the Pelicans either, but I'd certainly take them over the Suns, but I don't not want to play the Suns.
By the way, if you fall to the three, you're almost assuredly playing the Suns or the Pelicans in the first round, it looks like.
That's true. If somebody could knock off OKC a game this week, that'd help. One or two. I'll take one or two. I don't care about that. But I don't know, though. If you're two, you might end up with the Pelicans, right?
Yes, you could wind up with, or the Suns, because it's the Pelicans or the Suns will be in the play-in, probably hosting the 7
We've
versus
never,
8 game.
I can't think of a Western Conference where it has been as balanced as this, as the talent level of... Because the best teams aren't as good as they used. They're good, you know. They're all good. Oklahoma City, the Timberwolves, yep. and Denver are all good, very good. But I don't think they're as dominant as they've been in the past. And the teams down at the bottom are the teams that are going to squeeze into the play-in game are nasty. I heard Kendrick Perkins. By the way, that guy's fantastic.
He loves the Timberwolves too.
Funny, yep. He's funnier than hell, though. He's and I heard him yesterday. And they said the host was going to try to get out the idea that the Lakers, if the Lakers play the Timberwolves, that the Lakers would probably beat them. And he said, I'll give the Lakers a 40% chance. But then he talked about it like he thought it was a 20% chance that the Lakers
would beat.
But
well, to your point, there's a chance that the 6, 7, 8 seeds, when it's all said and done, could be the Suns, the Lakers and the Warriors, if it plays out, the 6, 7, and the 8.
I'd rather play the Lakers than the Warriors, I think.
Because Anthony Davis could, slip on a banana peel and miss three games.
Yeah, that's, if you play 7-game series against the Lakers, Anthony will miss at least 3 of them. So you know that. But then we get our guy D'Lo back, and there'd be a game in there where D'Lo got 32 and was bragging, and then the rest of the games he'd stink. So,
2 for 14.
Yeah, right. He had another big scoring game the other day, though. I saw that. He had another one of his, okay, you're really ripping me, so I think I'll go out and get 28 tonight. But then don't worry, I'll go back and lay down like the dog I am for the rest of the, for the next couple of games. But it's extreme. It's almost NHL like.
It is
for the playoffs this year that you don't know.
Yeah. And even in the East, the play-in is working too. That's the thing. Is it's the fun. Play-in is working. It's coming to my sport as soon as Bettman's gone. They're gonna throw that exact thing in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What'll it be though? It won't be a one game, right?
In the NHL. It should be. Let's make it a one game. That'd be so much fun.
It might be best 2 or 3s.
Yeah, like maybe. Yeah.
2 or 3s, maybe.
But they're definitely going to be 8 as one.
Are we numeric? Are we officially cooked yet? The Wild is it? Are we officially eliminated?
I don't think so. I think with a loss tonight at Colorado, that might be it.
Mathematically, still alive. Yes.
Really?
Which means Bally's fire it up.
Okay.
The Wild are in Western Conference hospice right now, but the plug has not been pulled.
The oxygen machine is pumping, but it's not over.
My guy Lodge last night. I did listen to the post game. And Lodge was telling us how wonderful Glasnow is. At first, I don't know anybody ever gets a hit on him. And I think this is just what the Twins need. And I said,
No, Lodz, no.
Fired
Stop.
Up.
Do not rip Lodz. Lodz is off limits as far as I'm concerned.
I love Lodz, but he left me it's one of those rare times when he left me confused that we should be happy that we're playing Glasnow, they're facing Glasnow. I didn't quite get that one.
The Twins are bored with the pitchers they face so far. They need one of the best in the world.
Now we get to face the guy with the best stuff in America. Okay,
good luck.
just what we need. Yeah, and who knows? Maybe they'll win and Lodz will be correct. I don't know, but I was confused. I got to admit that.
Well, Pat, it was a good chat here today, catching up with optimistic Pat on this Tuesday.
You know though. You know me as a lifelong 64-year-old, more Twins guy than anybody. I'm quick to turn on him, right?
Yes.
Like last year, I only hated him until about August 15th. Then we kind of,
Royce.
They got me. Yeah, they got when Royce got to town, and we actually decided he was going to play a few games in a row. Then everything changed. So
yeah, Royce told Declan yesterday to get the rest of us in the clubhouse once in a while, so we can talk some
purple
ball.
Purple Daily. Okay. Why don't football, you got to get him as a during the season a Purple Daily football guest.
Probably. I mean, if he wants to come on every week, every day to talk
his
Vikings.
Observations on Monday to talk the Vikings game. It's breaking down. All right.
All right, Pat. We'll see you later this week. There he is, optimistic Pat here. Royce Unchained presented by Josh.